Well, we're in the book of James, and hopefully you have looked at it a few times in the last couple weeks, and we're going to continue on looking at James for a few more weeks, and so, let's see if I can get this to work. So, this morning we're going to be looking at James 1, the end of James, sorry. Next week we'll work on James 2, so you can go ahead and turn if you have your Bibles. But has anybody recently found yourselves or caught yourself not listening? What? Huh? What? Exactly. You guys are getting it. Well, we live in an information world, and a lot of times this is even more difficult because when information is coming all different directions, it's hard for us to even listen or know what to listen to, right? And so it's probably even more difficult today because of that. You know, email used to be the way to communicate. It's becoming obsolete. I mean, we've got Facebook, we've got texting, we've got tweeting, we've got instant chatting. You name it. There's just all these different things out there that that people communicate, and so it gets a little complicated. We don't even know what the etiquette is anymore. There used to be etiquette when we talked to people, when we communicate, when we listened to people, right? One of the things that I've worked on, these are skills, but one of the things that I've worked on in my life, and of course I'm not there yet, is, you know, to turn off the TV and look at the person when they're talking to you, or turn off the computer, or stop texting while you're having the date with your wife. Or, you know, I mean, things like that. Don't answer the phone when you're meeting with somebody, because you're with that person. You're not with two people on the phone with somebody else, and things like that. You know, but these things are the basics, and yet we struggle with it because we haven't taught ourselves the etiquette, or how do we deal with these new forms of communication. And so we get to James, and he talks about things like listening, and we find that it's difficult just to listen when you're with a person, let alone with all the information coming at you from different venues like a computer or TV or maybe kids in the background, or anything can be distracting. And so James knew this. He knew that in relationships, it is difficult to communicate. It is difficult to listen. It is difficult to love other people. He knew this. And he didn't even have the technology that we have today. And so it's 100 times worse maybe for us, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But our responses to others can be controlled to some extent, right? I mean, we can control our behavior. We can look good. We can work on the skills that we have, and yet sometimes what bubbles up and the way we respond is really a picture of our heart. And so James goes below the surface, and he talks about things that we can't do on our own. that we need the Holy Spirit to help us to do these things, to help with these specific behaviors. So, before I do, before I read some of this, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. Lord, we need you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for James, who speaks very clearly. Help us to not just be hearers of the word, but doers, as James says many times here. And so we just pray that you would prepare our hearts, help us to know what you're saying to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I kind of thought some things because I didn't know if kids were going to be here, but you guys will be the kids, right? Okay. There are some teenagers, tweeners, you know. Are you a tweener? Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. So you guys are going to interact with me a little bit here. Does someone want to help me out by reading a passage this morning? Anybody? A tweener? Or you're not a tweener, but you can. James, go ahead and read James 1:19 through 27 for us. You can stand up. That'd be great.
So then, my beloved brother.
All right. So, before I move, I turn this over, I want to tell you, you know, my dad would say things like, I want your undivided attention. And what that meant was, listen up. Take note. And so James, he starts off with this phrase. He says, take note. So if you had paper and pen and James was speaking, that's what he meant. He said, listen, this is so important. I want you to get this. And then he goes on to say things like, listen, right? And so what does he say about listening? What does he say about listening? Where did my pen go? Put it over here. Quick to listen, right? Quick to listen. What does the next one say? Slow, right? Slow to speak. Hey, that's cheating. No, just kidding. Thank you, Mike. What does it say? What? Slow to become angry. Slow to anger would be more grammatically correct, right? So, when you're talking, you're not always listening. And, you know, we heard that phrase, God gave you two ears and one mouth for what? To hear twice as much, perhaps, maybe that's the phrase, right? And yet God gave us a mouth for a reason, and that is to speak, but probably not as much. So, James tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to be angry. Now, when we communicate, when we talk to people, or when we listen to people, a lot of times, and I do this, and thank God that I'm not always inconsiderate, just most of the time. But what happens is when we're listening to people, something in here starts to think about what we're going to do next. Or perhaps when we're listening to somebody, we're thinking, oh, what is going to be my response to that person? And listening is not thinking what should I say that's witty, or what should my response be? Listening is actually listening to what the person actually is saying, right? And so that's why James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak, because if we're speaking all the time, we're not going to be listening, and vice, you know. So what about the anger part? You ever find yourself just like all of a sudden this something came up out from the depth of down here, and it's like, where did that come from? You know, there's a picture at the dentist that, you know, has up on the wall. You can look at it. It's a really cool picture of an iceberg. And you know, what is it? 80% of an iceberg is underneath the water. Have you ever seen those pictures? A lot of what's going on inside of us, 80% maybe, I don't know, is stuff that we don't see. We don't see the stuff that's going on in our hearts. But once in a while, we try and control it. Once in a while, it comes up. And we are slow to listen, and we're quick to speak, and we're quick to get angry. And anger is not a bad thing. But Jesus and the Bible also says, do not sin in your anger. And James talks about it in here. He says, he talks about man's anger is different than God's anger. Man's anger is, there's sin that comes from that. God's anger is not necessarily sinful. It's not sinful at all. And so James, he says for us to be careful, to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So our responses to others can be controlled to some extent, but it's just a surface behavior, though. We can fake it sometimes, but sooner or later, what is in our heart bubbles up. It comes deep down from the heart. So, I'm sure you guys have all experienced that. James is wanting us to get this. So, I want to do something else. I want to jump to chapter 3. And James talks about this again. And he uses some analogies. He uses some word pictures. And so, somebody else want to read chapter 3? Not the whole chapter. No volunteers? You want to read? The question is, how far? 2 to 12, chapter 3. You do that for us? Can you read it really loud for us that can't hear very well? Good job. Thank you. All right. So, Anna, do you want to help me? No? No? All right. What is it? You want to help me too? Instead? Come up here. Okay, so we all know forest fires, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully I don't burn down the house, right? Okay. So, forest fires start with a little spark, right? So, I want you to light this. You know how to light?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, the forest fire starts. You can blow that one out. And it's not burning. It's not a very good forest fire.
Yeah.
We need to work on this. Good thing I didn't put gas on it.
That's right. We should have. That would have made it more fun.
Try a different one. Try your teeth. Nope, I'm just kidding. Yeah, just throw it in there. We did not rehearse this.
Nope.
Here, why don't you hold this and I'll light it?
Yeah, good plan.
That's a little scarier, though.
I guess.
Okay, so like a forest fire, it starts and you don't know where it's going, right?
Right.
We don't have enough air in here. Go ahead and put it. And I did not. Yep. All right. Well, let's try this again with. Go ahead. So, if you get this wet. It won't burn, right? Not very well. Right? Ah, I burned my finger. All right, give him a hand. Thank you. Well, we all know what forest fires do. We know that in the summertime, we hear about them. They're all over, and they're easier to start. We know they're easier to start than to put out. And the thing is, he's talking about analogies in this passage in chapter 3, and he's talking about all these things that are hard to control. What are some of those things that were named in that passage? You can cheat if you want. You can look it up. But what are some things that he used to give us a word picture of taming the tongue? What are some things? Horses. Okay. Horses and bridle. Yeah, sorry. I'm guessing it's B-R-I-D-L. Like that? Okay. So what else? Chips? Chips. Thank you. That's a good one. That, you know, that's amazing if you think of a huge ship and a little itty-bitty rudder, right? What else? A small spark. Yep, like that that ineffective fire there. Spark. Right? And then fire. Okay, what else? Is there anything else? Okay. Driver. The driver and the rudder. Let's just say the rudder. So my question is, can the tongue be tamed? Agree or disagree? Agree. Does anybody agree that the tongue can be tamed? Yes. Why do you think that? With God's help. Without God? I know. So, can the tongue be tamed? No, but with God it can be. Do you agree or disagree? Do you agree we can stumble in many ways with what we say? Do you agree that we can stumble in many ways? Anybody disagree? No one wants to say that, right? How about, can Christians, can they only bless God right now? Agree? Disagree? The question's kind of weird. A rudder is small but controls the ship's directions. Agree? Disagree? No. All right. A small flame can cause a forest to burn down. Agree? Disagree? All right. So James talks about these word pictures, and he gives us these things that are very difficult to tame, or to things that are comparative to our tongue, and our tongue is very difficult to tame. So, what do? We need the Lord. We need Him to help us, to live in us, to help us not say things that are mean, rude, crude, and socially unacceptable, right? No. But we also need the Lord's help so that we don't, so that we can listen as well. But what happens is we talk about, Lord, help us to do these behavioral things, and yet we don't ask the Lord to necessarily change our heart inside, go deeper. What's going on inside in the depth of my heart, and why am I acting, why am I reacting, or why am I not listening very well? We've all met critical people. And so picture with me, you're leading a small group, and there's this big burly guy that's 6'5", and he's a construction worker, and there's this wife of his, and she's 5'4", and no, are you 6'5"? Okay. And their names are not Dave and Donna, okay? No, you can, anytime. So, but you're not petite and frail, so the story changes a little different. So she's petite and frail. She is skilled with her tongue as David was with a slingshot against Goliath. And you're not with them long enough. See, you're the leader, and you're not with them long enough to realize that the man bristles at his wife's jabs. And he complains. He says, I just can't stand it when Karen puts me down in such a critical way. And so she says, oh, great Big Mac can't take care of himself. Mac purses his lips and shakes his head. I don't think I can take this much longer. I love my wife, but she's killing me with her tongue. So often the hostility, and that's just an example, there are many other examples, often the hostility of our hearts reveal what's really going on in the heart, often what we say. So often the hostility of our hearts reveals itself through our words and actions, is what I'm trying to say. The word tongue is mentioned 93 times in the Bible, often referring to its destructive power. And I just want to give you a few passages. Job 5:21 talks about the lash of the tongue. Job 15:5 says, your sin prompts your mouth. You adopt the tongue of the crafty. Job 20:12 says, though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue. Proverbs 15:4, a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Jeremiah 9:8, their tongue is a deadly arrow. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire. and it's itself set on fire by hell. We just read that. And then again in James it says, no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Yeah, just like a snake. You know, and you may not agree with me, but I think, I believe that sarcasm is probably the worst set part of humor that could be spoken. And I know that some people think that being sarcastic is funny, and yet there's some truth in people sharing sarcasm. And so sometimes we can say negative about someone and then say just kidding. But these words can pierce the heart of another person. We can say things with harsh tones or exasperated tones. And so what does that say to somebody when we talk like that? Maybe it's saying that you're just not important to me. I just don't have time. So I'm not gonna listen. Or I do that. I get impatient and I want to get done with the conversation. Not with you, but with other people. James goes on to say, with the tongue we praise the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men and women who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. And what does he talk about at the end of chapter 3? Or not the end of chapter 3, but the end of what we read today. What does he talk about? Those things that don't work together. Right? The salt water and the fresh water. What happens to the fresh water when salt water mixes? It's no longer fresh. Right? And so we contaminate the water. So if we are to please God and maintain a testimony that brings glory to Him, we must learn to control what we say. And yet we can't do it unless we have the Lord, unless we have His Spirit working in us. James continues to talk about religion, being religious, but I'm not sure he's talking about religiosity. I think what he's talking about is being, saying what you're doing, what you're going to do, doing what you say you're going to do. Like in verse 26, he says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. So whatever you say, if you say that you're a good person and yet you can't contain your tongue, then you're not a good person. And yet they're good unless God changes us and makes us better, makes us perfect, and makes us holy. This is a little off the subject, but we come from the holiness movement. And the Free Methodists, I'm reading some of the founding fathers and mothers of the holiness movement, and they talk about becoming holy, becoming complete, becoming mature. And we as a holiness movement believe that that can be attained in this lifetime. And yet, we don't get there. We're just in pursuit of getting there. But I think what happens is, I think we get glimpses of it. When God works in our heart and when He changes us, we get a glimpse of that holiness. That God's making us new and He's changing us. And so, perhaps when we don't try and control our mouths or try and control, we let God do that. And it actually works. Then we see a glimpse of that holiness. And yet we're not there yet. We're seeing little bits and pieces of it. There's a little bit of hope. And so James is pretty straightforward and says, you need to let the Lord help you do this. Psalm 66:17 says, His praise was on my tongue. Psalm 71:24 says, My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. Psalms 119:172 says, May my tongue sing of your word. Or if we look at Proverbs, and Solomon talks about this, he says, The tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue that brings healing, in Proverbs 15:4, is a tree of life. And so do you know that what you say can destroy people or it can heal them? Do you believe that? God can use you to speak life into somebody, to speak love, gentleness, and they can be healed because of the way you've spoken to them. And God can use that. But it also can destroy people too. This takes self-control to live like that. And yet we find that we can't do it. We can't control ourselves. We know that the Olympians, in the Olympics, those people that pursue, they are self-disciplined. They will not get the gold medal unless they discipline their body, their mind, to win, to get that. And so there's this skill and this discipline alongside of the Holy Spirit moving in us and being filled with the Holy Spirit. An undisciplined Christian cannot live a victorious, abundant life or be an effective witness. So the key to self-control, the key to taming your tongue, the key to being a good listener, you can learn all the skills you want, but it's really being filled with the Holy Spirit, letting Him change your heart, and being able to love others like God wants you to love, like He loves them, unconditionally. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us, like it says in Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, right? So what does it take to start a forest fire in a drought? Just a spark, right? Just a spark. Just a spark of something that was not nice to say can destroy. And so as we think about what James says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, and be slow to anger. Only in the Holy Spirit, with Him working in us, can we do that. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would change us. You only know that we strive to tame our tongue, we strive to be better listeners, and yet we fall short. And so we just pray that You would change us from the inside out. Whatever is going on underneath the surface, that You would deal with that stuff so that we will bubble, that inside of us would bubble out Your love and we would be changed. Help us, Lord, to love others as You love them, as You love every one of us. Father, help us to speak kind words. Help us to listen with others in mind. And help us to be slow to anger. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.